Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
I have sad, and that's not me making an error in grammar. I don't think I have like seasonal affective disorder. And then you get a 60 degree day in February, and I feel like frolicking in my yard, throwing petals around. And I go, oh, maybe I do have a little seasonal affective disorder. 60 degrees yesterday and the day before here in Wisconsin. And I gotta be honest, I feel like a new person. You get a little warm weather when you're expecting it to be, you know, cold. And it's glorious. I can't think of any other way to describe it, Gabe.
Yeah, I mean, when you get it in February, you feel like you have to try to take advantage of it because you know it's not here to stay. Right? Like, it's just a little taste. You're just getting that little taste.
Fake spring.
A little bit of taste.
Fake spring.
Yeah, yeah. False spring, fake spring, fool man spring, or however you want to put it.
See, I'm adjusting to heat.
Can you cut
we
off
went
his
to
mic?
A beach bar.
You just, yeah, we, just go ahead. And...
We went to a beach bar. Oh, he is talking. Chewy, I know you're talking, but we can't hear you because you mentioned a beach bar. And
oh, I'm
just...
getting used to the heat.
No, really. You need to get, Gabe, you know, golf.
You don't have to get used to the heat. You just go outside.
And then you get the heat, and then you have to adjust.
Well, I mean, because, I mean, and obviously everybody knows this, but when you go through, and this has been... especially considering the winters we've had the last couple of years, a particularly harsh winter. But at some point every winter, you're going to have at least a week where it is in the single digits or below zero for the entire week.
Mm-hmm.
And that then, I mean, even like today, it's going to be like a high of 40. It's going to feel awesome because your body just acclimated to the, mm-hmm. you know, 15 below that we were dealing with. So now 40 and that temperature change of 55 degrees feels fantastic.
Well, I talked to Dario yesterday, who is in Maryvale, Arizona for Brewers spring training, and it was warmer here. At that moment, we compared temperatures on the old app, and I was like, oh, warmer in Wisconsin than Arizona. Bet you didn't see that coming.
I was able to get my roof on yesterday. Infinity Exterior. God, are they a great company. Highly recommend them. Are they? They're the talking text line.
Yeah,
right?
We love them. Yeah.
They're the Twitter poll.
No, but they follow through. They're legit. They're. I mean,
huh? Great. Did you say what they did for you?
Put on his roof.
The roof on.
Put on his roof.
Yeah, and those guys were in t-shirts. I'm like,
wow. Well, yeah. If you were doing work yesterday, I got to imagine.
Well, and again, yeah. I said
working up a sweat.
So they put the roof on your house, not to be confused with the lake house or the Florida house, the house. I said, were you there to supervise?
No.
Send over the blammer?
No.
The cameras.
I bet the blammer. I'm willing to bet the blammer wandered over just to see what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he probably heard the nail guns. Probably had an urge to get up on the roof, which would have been a terrible
thing. Oh, you cannot let that man anywhere near a roof.
No.
Or a ladder.
That's the man sounds, the... cutting of boards, the saws,
jackhammer.
Guys just gotta walk over and look, take a peek.
What you got going on over here?
Uh-huh.
What you guys working on?
Oh, what do you got there? It's Phillip
like,
said.
It's like I don't know better. It's like a neighborhood mating call. Everyone's gotta come take a peek.
Is that a circular saw? Is that what you got there? Yeah. How many horsepower? I want to ask you guys if you saw the picture that's been circulating on social media. Of a typical Wisconsin spring day. Gabe, what was in that photograph that you shared with us?
So in the foreground, you have a guy who's teeing off on a golf hole because the snow is gone and, you know, some courses are going to take advantage of the nice weather. And this particular course is on a lake. So in the background, you can see on that lake a couple of, you know, shanties. So you could have gone ice fishing and golf. You could have played your round of golf. Then headed out, you know, to your shanty, got a little ice fishing in yesterday, or, you know, vice versa. But where else can you get golf and ice fishing on the same day?
Well, and similarly, Chu, the Apostles Island, is it Apostles plural, Islands singular, or
Apostle
singular?
Islands.
Okay, Apostle is singular, and Islands is plural. Great, got it, locked in. Apostle Islands National Lakeshore Ice Caves were open yesterday for the first time in 10 years. And this, to me, is starting to feel a little like the Northern Lights. This, to me, is feeling like one of those things that I never knew that I needed to do it, but I think I need to do it. I think I need to travel the 6 hours from here.
Hold, time out.
Uh-huh.
You're claustrophobic. You're not going in any cave.
Especially ones that have ice daggers hanging over them.
Can't I enjoy the view from outside?
Yeah.
Well, kind of seems like a waste to drive the 6 hours just to look at them from the outside.
My claustrophobia comes and goes. Like, there are some things, like we went into... now my brain's going to fail me. Shocking. What are the grottos? We went into the Blue Grotto when we were in Italy, in Capri, and I had no problem with the Blue Grotto. There was something about, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, going in and seeing this incredible natural, you know, masterpiece, if you will. And so I was able to kind of get over the claustrophobia. But I will tell you this. I had a friend the other day say, hey, we should go do an escape room. And I was like, I don't think so.
Dave, are you claustrophobic?
No.
The craziest
escape
thing
rooms
I ever
still
did.
Exist in 2026? I thought that was a thing that was left in 2015.
I don't know, maybe. Should we Google it and see?
I mean, I seem like a fad that kind of came and went, because the thing about the escape room is once you do it once, you can't really do it again.
Have you guys ever been trapped in an elevator for an extended period of time?
What's extended?
More than 30, 40 minutes.
I think 10 is the most
you?
I've ever been.
I have, yes. And I have never had claustrophobia. Guess who started to feel it after 20 minutes of no response, and you're just sitting there going, well, I really got to use the bathroom. What am I going to start doing here?
Yeah, that'll do it. Joshy, how have you checked so many of these random, unusual experiences off your bingo card?
Live a lot of life, do a lot of things.
I feel like you checked off a lot of those things. And how long did you live in New York? 18 months?
Yeah.
2 years?
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of things, you know, you just got to go out there and see it happen.
So I'm the only one who is like, moved to go see the Apostle Islands ice caves?
No, this has been on my bucket list for a long time. I mean, I think anybody who's lived in Wisconsin for a long time, that's something that they want to do. But the problem is, unless you live kind of closer to that area, like you said, it's in the opposite corner of the state, right? It's a long hike to get up there. So when they haven't been open for a decade, you don't know when they're going to be open consistently. So it's not like something I can go, oh, next year, I am going to take off February 3rd and go up there, because you just don't know if it's going to be actually open to go check it out. Now, it's a cool place, from my understanding, to still go like during the summer and go check out all the stuff they've got going on up there at that point. But yeah, it's especially when they get frozen like they are right now, it is a beautiful thing to see.
It almost appears like you would never see that in Wisconsin. It feels like I'd have to go to some far-flung ancient type of place to see something like that, because it is so visually stunning.
Well, what's crazy is I'm reading the article now on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it says the ice caves last accessible, as we mentioned, to the public in 2014 and 2015, but they will be closed today due to a forecasted winter storm. So they were open all day yesterday. I think they opened at 8:30 in the morning, and people flocked to it. I mean, droves and droves, the pictures of the lines. And I was reading on social media as people were sort of live reporting from the Apostle Islands ice caves yesterday. I mean, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of people that flocked there yesterday to see these ice caves. And good thing they did, because if you were waiting until today, sorry, you're out of luck. It's closed. And there's something about that like element of it as well that feels like you got to strike while the iron is hot, right? Which is why yesterday I was doing the calculations. Could I make the drive? Could I drive the 6 hours from here to there, take in the caves, drive back? I would have pulled the kids out of school. There's like a 2 mile walk or something like that from the drop off area.
You got to be ready for a 2 to 6 mile hike to do it.
What?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No one's got a four-wheeler or anything like that, shuttling back and forth?
Yeah, it's like a 2 to 6 mile hike. Yeah, like in totality. Yep.
A four-wheeler, we're going to be... That's one.
What? What's wrong with that? You hook a sled up to it, cart some people over, turn
around,
come
you're
back,
thinking of New York. It's like the rickshaws that you see in New York when you're
I mean, we're exactly. dealing with, like, parkland here. We don't want to be tearing it up with a four-wheeler.
That just does nothing for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but what does like do nice something for you?
Disaster, or whatever they're called. What are they called? Natural, whatever they're called.
What?
I mean, I saw a volcano blow up right in front of my face, which I thought was pretty cool.
Okay, what was cool about it?
I don't know. I wasn't expecting it.
And by right in front of your face, how close were you?
Probably a mile away. Okay. I'll send you the picture. It was an unbelievable picture. Me and Angie just kind of stumbled out there. We were off. It was a northern island in Sicily, and the captain's saying, I think it was Mount Stromboli was going to explode, and she just happened to stumble out and take a picture. And
oh,
it was
stumbled because you guys were intoxicated?
Well, it was after dinner.
I knew that stumbled was a conscious decision by you there.
I never showed you guys this picture.
Well, my point. Like, that's a natural phenomenon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Stumbling upon an active volcano is a natural phenomenon, mm-hmm. not unlike what we're seeing up at Lake Superior here with the ice caves. That's a natural phenomenon. The conditions have to be just right for something like that to happen, as indicated by the lengthy delay between availability, a decade. That's sort of the thing where I'm like, if I have the opportunity to do it, there's a little tug of you should go see it because I don't want to regret not having seen it. So I guess it's FOMO. I guess what we've landed on, we've circled around, we've landed on the idea that I am going to have FOMO if I don't go up and see the Apostle Islands. What? Oh. I don't have FOMO. I'm not a FOMOer. What is that face?
Please.
You are?
I don't think I am.
I think you are.
What makes you think that?
With all of the things that you're constantly trying to jam into your life, that meets the criteria of somebody who is scared that they're going to miss out on something.
Yeah, but again, it's like the Northern Lights. It's like an active volcano. It's like if you have the opportunity to see those things, don't you want to go see them? You just said you do want to see
them. Yeah, I want to see them, but again, I'm also at ease and at peace that there's a very likely chance that I never see them.
I think
because
it's
of the inconsistency
drive.
That it's that it's just because again, like okay, so we have done the show yesterday, Jen. It's a 6-hour drive up there.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have gotten up there at 3. Are you sure you would have gotten through the line? I mean, what's the line going to be like at 3:00? Right, like so. Again, it's just hard to plan because it's hard to know when it's actually going to be open. Because again, I think Lake Superior went from 10% coverage of ice to 50%. Now, from mid-January to now, which is why it's allowed to be open, right? So that the conditions have to be just right, and I'm not going to buy a bunch of weather maps and try to start figuring out when this thing is actually going to be open. Just have them just spread out over the kitchen table. Just, okay, what do we got here? All right, well, if the wind conditions are correct.
You're the guy from It's Always Sunny who's got the pegboard and the red string connecting all of the things. 800-990-3776. I have this unusual urge to go to the Apostle Islands ice caves. And again, open yesterday, closed today. So there is that like idea of unavailable. It's kind of like when you meet somebody and you know you're intrigued by them, but then they're all of a sudden unavailable and you're like, whoa, wait, what's happening here? And you're a little more attracted to them than you were previously. That's how I feel about the ice caves right now.
Well, and again, you could do it. You thought, oh, maybe you could do it today. Nope, sorry, closed because of winter conditions. So it has to just be perfect conditions because again, you can't be just going out onto Lake Superior, you know, with limited cell service and a 2 to 6 mile hike and, you know, they can't be letting you do that in the middle of a winter storm.
I think my kids might be too little, too. Now that you're telling me all of these details, the 2 to 6 mile hike, I did see a bunch of people who bring sleds, and they pull the kids in sleds, right? They do the rope thing around the... What, though? Is this your ATV four-wheeler?
Yes. Yeah.
Chewy's going to start a business where he sells four-wheelers up there or rents out four-wheelers for people to go see the ice caves.
See, I'm all for a natural, whatever they call those things, as long as you don't have to go too far. You know, like Northern Lights. I've seen the Northern Lights from my house in Waukesha, right?
Sure.
The volcano, which I just sent you guys, I walked out the door and it was right there. So you got to bring the thing to me.
It's not how any of this works.
Well,
the natural phenomenon.
That's just called happenstance.
Yeah, because additionally, nobody brought you the volcano. You actually did go to the volcano. Now, seeing it erupt, that was a crazy random happenstance because you happened to be, you know, going on your cruise at that time. But you did go to that. They did not suddenly in Florida just transport a giant volcano and throw it a mile away.
Is there something you want to see, Chu? You know, before the end of days, is there something that you're like, I've always wanted to see the pyramids. I've always wanted to see
dinner at 5 p.m.
Stonehenge. I don't know.
Is it the eight wonders of the world?
Yes.
That sounds right.
There are eight wonders of the world.
I mean, Grand Canyon.
Excuse me. Seven wonders of the world. I believe Andre the Giant was the eighth.
Okay. So what are they? I mean, Grand Canyon. Yeah, great. I've flown over it. That's all I need to do.
I've flown over it. The Grand Canyon is actually spectacular.
But what do? You walk around?
Yes, you walk around. You gaze at the marvel.
Niagara Falls? Is that another one, Gabe?
No. There are no seven wonders of the world in the United States.
So what are the seven? Like pyramids? So what? Pyramid Schmirnin.
Really? See, you mentioned me being claustrophobic earlier. That's going to be a deal breaker for me.
The pyramids?
Dario really wants to explore the pyramids. He wants to go into those tiny little tunnels. And I'm like, absolutely not. Could never, will never. Sorry, I'll look from the outside.
Great Wall of China? I've been on a wall before.
Great Wall of China is one of the seven.
I've been on a wall, he says.
Yeah. Keep going, Gabe.
The pyramids, the Great Wall of China, Petra in Jordan. Petra is on the list. The Colosseum in Rome.
Colosseum, I've been there. It's fine. It's fine. The architecture is the cool part, but...
Yes, that would be...
Chichen Itza?
Chichen Itza is on there.
What's Chichen Itza?
Chichen Itza, it's in Yucatan in Mexico.
All right, that feels doable.
Here's one you'll like, Christ the Redeemer.
Yeah, in Rio.
I've seen better things than that.
Machu Picchu?
Oh. What's that? I know it was on Seinfeld. Gabe, it was on Seinfeld, right?
It was. It is in Peru. And then the Taj Mahal. The Taj Mahal is among the seven wonders of the world.
I've been in real nice capital buildings, which is really all the Taj Mahal is.
Same thing.
Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong. Yep. Confidently can say wrong-o.
I think we should put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors, your guys, poll this morning. Do you have any interest in seeing natural phenomenons? We're obviously talking about the seven wonders of the world now, those not necessarily natural phenomenons, most of those man-made phenomenons. But the Apostle Islands ice caves are open, well, were open, and it seems like there's a small window of when you might be able to see it. It's 6 hours from here. Would you make the trip? Do you have any interest, or is it just me?
I feel like we can confidently say Chewy is vastly, severely in the minority here, since the national parks are some of the most visited places on Earth.
Well, let me just tell
it
you
seems
this,
to
Chucky.
Be to the tune of many millions of people a year decide to build vacations around doing these things.
Joshy, I've been to the Colosseum. Jerry World is almost as cool.
It is not. You're not taking into any context the
times
that
they were built. I like new stuff. I don't want to buy a house that was built in 1785. I want one built brand new.
No one's asking you to buy any of these things. They're asking you.
And if the house is still standing, it's probably a lot better than the new one.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Isn't the oldness of these things part of their appeal?
Sure, 100%. Because you look at the pyramids and realize that those were built 5,000 years ago, and you're going, how did they do this?
Yeah,
same thing with the Great Wall of China.
I bet
same
they
thing
don't have Wi-Fi. I bet they don't have, you know.
I bet they have a cell signal right up to it. Guarantee it.
Nothing to hook an HDMI cord up to. Right?
But who cares, man? Like, that's just not.
I don't know.
It's funny the guy who has the least knowledge and, I guess, use for technology of us is now using that as his excuse for not appreciating these wonders of the world.
Like,
I'm a creature comfort guy. I am a creature comfort guy.
Like, Chewy, I know you've been to Greece. Did you guys go check out the Parthenon and those things? Because that's like up top of a giant hill.
Fine. It's like way too crowded, Gabe, and way too many people. Way too many people and too many damn stairs.
Okay, but again, those stairs, think about what they built on top of that hill, Chew. How they built what they did and how they built it up there. That's the amazing part of going to the... I don't care there's a million people there because everybody else is in awe of, wait, they built this when? How the hell did they do this?
If they built it today, Gabe, it would have been so much better. Escalators, you know.
I'm also humored by the fact that Meathead, my body is a temple, I got to get my workout in guy, is like, no stairs for me. I need the escalator.
Yeah, he doesn't do legs.
Happening? What's happening?
This guy doesn't do legs. Come on.
Yeah, thank you, Gabe.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, all warmed up, all stretched out. Jason Wilde is coming up next. We'll talk what's going on at 1265 right after this.
At Ewald Automotive Group, they believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of lower payments. That's why they're giving you $1,500 over book value for your trade-in. Get into a new vehicle with payments starting under $250 a month. Over 1,400 vehicles backed by their low price guarantee. $1,500 more for your trade. Payments starting under $250. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of lower payments based on Kelley Rubik. Fair trade value applies to 2013 or newer model years. Again, with Ewald, it's always easy. Just head over to ewaldauto.com.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm super duper. How are you guys?
Ooh, super duper feels like it's a good thing. I guess, is it the first day of the Chinese New Year? Did I see that? Supposed to do a bunch of different things. Gabe up there. I'm sorry. Joshy's shaking his head back there going, what in the world are we talking about here?
Yes, like Jason's a big Chinese New Year guy.
No, but he said super duper. And to be honest with you, from everything I've been reading, you're supposed to enter the new year with a good attitude. And then it's supposed to, the way that you carry yourself today is supposed to sort of set the tone for how the entire year goes. So when Jason said super duper, I thought, oh, here's a guy who's off to a great start.
Yeah.
Do you recognize the Chinese New Year? Like, what are we talking about here?
I'm not taking any chances, right? I'm not taking any chances. Jason, there was an article or a rankings list that said that Jordan Love was the 14th best quarterback in the NFL. And that, to us, the collective, felt low given the year that Jordan Love had. Is that fair or unfair to say that 14th, basically middle of the pack, is lower than the season that Jordan Love put on display with the Packers?
God, I hate this time of year.
I know.
The rankings?
How is he 14th? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, do you do that? Do you know who put this out? Like, is it going to turn out to be, like, Greg Cosell or someone that I really respect? Or
Nick
because
Shook.
I should probably know that beforehand.
What's his
Nick
name, Josh?
Shook?
Nick Shook, a guy who I had learned of for the first time.
I'm Shook. I'm shook by that ranking. I don't know what the criteria are. We live in a society where we either want to be able to crown someone or say they completely suck, like fans have done, or at least a portion of the fan base have done with the existing Packers head coach. I was talking to somebody yesterday who covers the Vikings, and they were just blown away by the amount of Packers fans in the Twin Cities that are fed up with Matt LaFleur. And I said, well, it looks like it's about 30% based on all of our polling data. And he said, okay, that makes sense. But, like, Kevin O'Connell obviously has had a ton of success up there, not necessarily with J.J. McCarthy. But, like, I think outside of our little bubble, where there are some very loud voices that are down on LaFleur, I think there's a lot of people that are like, what's wrong with Packers fans that they want to run this guy out of town? Do they not know what a bad coach really looks like? And when you tell me that Jordan Love is 14th, well, then Matt LaFleur must be an even better coach, right? If he's doing all, if he's making the playoffs every year with a middle of the pack quarterback that's getting paid $55 million a year. So I know the combine starts next week, so we'll have some kind of fresh content. It would be great if we would talk to Jonathan Gannon sometime this century so we can get some thoughts on him and have some fodder to discuss about him. But I don't think Jordan Love is the 14th best quarterback in the NFL. I believe the numbers would indicate otherwise. I believe the eye test would indicate otherwise as well.
Jason, you mentioned the combine. I know you're a big combine guy. But what are some other big
three
dates cone coming
guy.
Up? When are the bonuses coming? When does free agency start? When does the good stuff get going here?
Yeah, so I think the league year starts on the 11th. I take it one day at a time. So I'm not worried about the roster bonus stuff. Now, look, you don't have to wait until then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can
Dolphins
start
didn't.
Working on... I was just about to say that. John Eric Sullivan ain't messing around, man. February 16th, you're out the door. There's obviously some roster bonuses that are pivot points for certain players and what the team's plans are, right? And I'm fascinated by this, I think this says a lot about just how confident Goody was in signing Aaron Banks and in signing Nate Hobbs, because they had not done this as much. The third day of the league year or fifth day of the league year roster bonuses, the kind of you-know-what or get-off-the-pot type decisions that if the guy has a great year, you just convert that to a signing bonus, you spread it out over the remaining existing years on the deal, and you go on your merry way with some added cap space. And if you're disappointed in the guy and you don't want him on your team, you just say, sorry, we're not going to do this. Or it's a restructure point where you can say, look, we can convert this, but you're not going to get this. So we're going to restructure. You can earn it back in incentives or whatever else. But like, they had kind of gone away from that in the structure of their contracts. Like 2 years ago, McKinney didn't have one of these. I don't think Josh Jacobs didn't have one for sure. And so it's interesting because, they gave both these guys contracts, but they also built money in that those guys might never see. And I don't think Hobbs is going to see it. I don't think that's a big, bold statement there, but I still am not 100% confident that Aaron Banks will. I can't imagine going into the season without him also, when you're also planning on letting Sean Ryan and Rashid Walker walk in free agency. But I don't think it's as clear cut of a decision as you would have thought it would have been based on the signing of him a year ago.
So Jason, in the next 20-ish days is when I would expect to get the decisions/releases of Elgton Jenkins and Rashawn Gary, because you're going to want to have that money in order to negotiate when the legal tampering window opens on March the 9th. But some of those other levers you were talking about and taking, somebody like in restructuring Josh Jacobs' deal and all these other deals that can be, kind of pushing money off to the future, they're just going to kind of do that as they go, right? Because they're not going to want to get all of that money available, pay it later. They just want to use that money now if there's a free agent or somebody out there that they really like and want to go get.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – it's a great question. Certainly, they don't have to do things if they're not planning on spending. Now, one of the things that Tausch and I were talking about yesterday, and I thought it was a really good point by him, is that I would expect that Goody will be going, not bargain shopping per se, because obviously he's always kind of trying to do that, but the released by their previous team market as opposed to the true unrestricted free agent market. And the reason I
But aren't
agree
those
with
guys
Tausch
typically
that,
older guys?
They are. And certainly there's a I'm told that there is no line of demarcation at age 30.
Yeah, but everybody's expected to be back, Jason, so
yeah, I was also told that, yeah. We'd love to have him on our team. He did not say absolutely like he did with Aaron Jones, though. So that's progress. But if there are guys that are released, like Bradley Chubb is 31, I believe. I would be surprised. I don't know if there'll be guys that are released that are under the line of demarcation that doesn't really exist. But if you sign guys that are released, like Julius Peppers many moons ago, they don't count into the compensatory pick equation. And I do believe that the Packers are counting on, I think the maximum you can get is 4. And if they let everybody and their brother walk like they appear to be planning on doing from this 2022 draft class plus Malik Willis, they've got a shot at getting 4 in 2027. So I think they will be very selective in how they go about adding people. But that's why I think this offseason, I don't know if you guys all agree, but that's why I think this offseason is so fascinating, because for the guys they're going to let walk, for the holes that they already have to fill and could have more holes to fill, for where their cap situation is, like, they got a lot of work to do for a team that's viewed as one of the leading candidates for the Super Bowl, because I think a lot of odds makers and NFL experts say what I've been saying for months, which is they lost their two best players. And that's why they ended up where, that's what Ed Policy was basically saying by extending everybody. But I think there's a lot of work to do here. And without a first round pick, and without just being completely swimming in cap space, I'm very curious to see how they go about resolving the issues they have on their roster.
Jason, good stuff this morning. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. You can, of course, hear him right after our show, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, on Wilde and Tausch, each and every day, 9 to noon on ESPN Milwaukee.
Tune to the new season of Behind the Bucks podcast on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Bucks versus the World, narrated by comedian Charlie Behrens, reveals the untold story of the 1987 McDonald's Open, when the Bucks became the first NBA team to take on the best national team in the world, Soviet Union. Before the Dream Team, this long-forgotten tournament in Milwaukee globalized the game of basketball and opened the doors to international stars coming to the NBA. Find Behind the Bucks at bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy? Where you can recruit
gotten?
A little?
No, I'm saying from the standpoint... It used to be.
That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you're headed to a Milwaukee Bucks game, you got to make Pottawatomie Casino and Pottawatomie Sportsbook the place to stop beforehand. Because if you make a purchase or a bet, you'll get a wristband. You can take that wristband and get on the shuttle. That's right. There are shuttles running to and from Fiserv Forum. Pickups and drop-offs are in the annex. Shuttles begin departing Pottawatomie 1 hour and 15 minutes before the game time. This is a no-brainer. Bet above the rest and get a ride to Fiserv Forum at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. So let's talk about Jordan Love. Because we mentioned this article, which, again, is an NFL.com article. I don't know Nick Shook, but he does work for NFL.com. And he revealed his latest quarterback rankings. And look, I don't want to have, push this through the Homer prism. not Homer, who you can hear on these airwaves from 5 to 6 every night. 4 to 5? 4 to 5.
5 to 6.
5, thank you so much. Not that Homer, but like somebody who only sees the home teams and is like, our guy is better than everybody else. But Jordan Love, according to most metrics guys, was one of the best quarterbacks on the field last year. You know, it depends on what, are you a passer rating person? Are you a QBR person? I happen to like QBR, even though some people think it's a made-up stat by ESPN, whatevs. It tries to take in totality the performance of the quarterbacks and compare them to each other. And QBR regular season last year, Jordan Love was third behind Brock Purdy and Drake May. Drake May, who was, of course, the runner-up for the MVP. And if you're looking for the MVP, Matthew Stafford, oh, he finished fourth just behind Jordan Love. So by that metric, Jordan Love was one of the best quarterbacks on the field last year. How in the world does this Nick Shook rank him 14th? It feels like you're basing this on something you saw from Jordan Love a few years ago and not the Jordan Love that was actually on the field this last year, Gabe.
Yeah, and look, for Jordan to work his way up at any of these lists, and he's criminally low at 14. Like, we can just, we can argue about where he belongs, but if you have somebody like Jordan at 14, like, I'm just dismissing you. Like, I can't take this opinion seriously. I just can't. Can't do it. But in order for Jordan to get more respect from people, Packers got to win more playoff games. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. Win a division. Win playoff games. It's having that team success, even though, again, it's team success that ultimately rises for the quarterbacks. Like, Brett was pretty good in 1994, but he started winning, you know, he started getting more recognition when the Packers made it to an NFC Championship game the next year. Same thing with Aaron when he made it in the Super Bowl in 2010. He was getting some love, certainly in 2009. 2010, they go on that run, and then it kind of solidifies him for the rest of his career and who he's going to be. So it's having that team success that I think ultimately is going to get him off of any of these lists that have him ranked too low.
I just think they're not going to crack the guys that have done it, even though Jordan had a better year than most of them, but they're not going to crack Allen. They're not going to crack Dak. They're Hurts.
What's Dak
done? Super Bowl, Lamar. I'm just telling you, Joe Burrow.
They put Caleb
everyone
Williams
loves Burrow, right, Gabe? Everyone loves Burrow.
Oh, yeah. I think.
What have you done? You've been hurt.
Yeah, but at some point, like when you watch these guys play, there's four quarterbacks that I think, whatever order you want to put in, that are kind of jostling for those top four spots each and every year, and it's Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and Lamar.
Yeah.
So then there's still 10. I'm not saying Jordan deserves to be above any of those guys, but there's
Stafford?
10. There's 10 guys between Jordan and that group.
Gabe, they're probably throwing Stafford for what he's done.
Sure.
Stafford's in there. He's in the top tier. In fact, Chewy, I want to tell you this, and we should go over who some of the quarterbacks are that are above him because some of them feel egregious, but Jordan Love is in the tier three. He is the first quarterback of tier three, but let me tell you who the other quarterbacks are who are with him in tier three. Brock Purdy, who I just mentioned had a great QBR for the season, Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield, Bo Nix, Jalen Hurts, C.J. Stroud, and that is tier three.
He should be probably middle tier two.
So let's go to tier two, because I think that is that's valuable information as well. Tier two includes Sam Darnold, your Super Bowl champ, Caleb Williams.
Also led the league in turnovers in the regular season.
He did, but he cleaned it up in the postseason. And again, yeah. I don't know if this is a regular season ranking or if it's the totality of what you did in the playoffs as well.
But again, he didn't play great in the postseason. He had one good postseason game. He wasn't great in that Super Bowl. Did anybody watch the Super Bowl?
Jared Goff is in tier two. Joe Burrow is in tier two. Lamar Jackson in tier two. Daniel Jones in tier two. And the injured Patrick Mahomes in tier two.
Daniel Jones is a joke. Really? Where's Justin Herbert?
I think
tier one.
Have him in tier one, yeah.
He's tier one, baby. You know who's right behind him in tier one, Chew?
Who?
Trevor Lawrence, baby.
Oh, yeah. See, that's where, if you're going to put him anywhere, you put him with Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, he's better than Trevor.
Well, but Trevor, I think is narrative-based, right? Because Trevor has been so lousy since he left college. This was the first year that he actually seemed like the guy that we saw in college, the franchise quarterback. According to this article, he had played his best football of his career.
Well, let me ask you this, Jen. Are the people in San Francisco complaining like we are about Purdy?
100%. And they should be.
Yeah.
Like Purdy's better than Purdy's better than Daniel Jones and Jared Goff and Caleb Williams and
I agree.
Trevor Lawrence.
So who are the tier ones?
The tier ones this year.
Who you'd think?
Yeah, okay. Stafford, Allen, Dak, May, Herbert, Lawrence.
May's a little early. Come on. It's just the flavor of the day.
I mean,
okay, then
maybe,
go back to when Jordan played those unbelievable 9 games the first year he started.
But if I'm going to use the QBR to defend Jordan Love this past season, he had a 73.1 QBR. Drake May led all starting quarterbacks with a 77.2 QBR. So I can't, you know, what do they call it? Cut off your nose to spite your face, right?
Sure.
If I'm going to use that to defend Jordan Love's, that he deserves to be higher on this list, I can't dismiss it when we're talking about Drake May.
Yeah, look, I mean, Drake was runner-up and very well could have won the MVP this year. But again, it's this for him and for any young quarterback, for half the guys on this list that we're looking at, Drake May, Lawrence, even Herbert, Sam Darnold, Caleb, Daniel Jones, all these guys that are ahead of Jordan, go do it again.
I just think
go do it again. That's because that's what makes you a great quarterback to what you're talking about. You
a more accurate study would have been if they asked 32 GMs and said, "Would you rather have Jared Goff or Jordan Love?" They're taking Jordan Love,
mm-hmm.
right? Would you rather have Justin Herbert or Jordan Love? That might go. There'll be votes either way, but it's just like, come on, Drake May.
Daniel Jones being ahead of.
You know who had a great rookie year? Look where he's at now.
Oh, yeah.
C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Stroud, right?
Yep.
Great rookie year. And where is he at, Gabe, now? Tier 3? I guess people got to write trash.
Same thing with Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels.
Who had a fantastic rookie year, but now people forgot about him. Yeah, it's just a flavor of the month type thing. Yeah, and again, if you want to put together a list and you think objectively that Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than Jordan Love, then I can't help you. You cannot be helped.
No.
Right? Like, yeah, you can make an argument for a lot of those guys, but there's just some like, no, man. Like Daniel Jones played a handful of good games, ruptured his Achilles, and now who knows what the hell he's going mm-hmm. to be.
Yep.
Maybe there's value in reading what Nick Shook said about Jordan Love and why he ranked him in the 14th spot on his list for NFL quarterbacks in 2025. Here's what he had to say. Jordan Love peaked in a Week 8 win over Aaron Rodgers' Steelers, throwing the Packers to victory on the road, but never quite found the level of consistency Green Bay needs from its franchise quarterback. He enjoyed some highs with the 4-touchdown showing against Detroit on Thanksgiving coming to mind. He just needs to do it more often in order to help the Packers reach their potential. And look, I could argue that
say
there were
that
times...
about everybody else ahead of him.
Now read Daniel Jones,
who didn't finish the season, and his team missed the playoffs, and was on their way to missing the playoffs before mm-hmm. he got injured. Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. What are we doing here?
No, it's fair. I will say this though: there were times at the end of the season where a more Herculean heroic effort by Jordan Love would have maybe won them games, right? In that 5-game losing stretch, were there times where Jordan had the ball in his hand and the offense couldn't make the play to put them in the end zone to maybe win the game? Yes. And I would argue that maybe, and again, I don't know this because I think, again, this is way too low for what Jordan Love did this past year. But maybe this author is holding those situations against him as well.
He didn't finish or play in three of those 5 losses. He got knocked out in the Bears game, couldn't play against the Ravens, and they held him out against the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if that's going to be held against him, then what did Daniel Jones do those weeks, Jen? Oh, wait, he didn't do anything?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. I mean, you just can't watch Daniel. Yes, Daniel Jones is a great story. Like, I was rooting for the guy this year. I thought it was an awesome story for him to kind of be a second... Sam Darnold, where you trade, you change teams, you've gone through it a little bit, and now you're having success. But I'm not watching really either one of those guys and going, oh yeah, they're better than Jordan.
Wasn't Jordan Love's peak the 330 yards and 4 touchdowns in the playoff game against the Bears? Isn't that the biggest moment?
Yeah, but the defense let him down, so Sorry, we got to knock Jordan for that one. Sorry, Josh. I don't make the rules. I just enforce them.
800-990-3776. We put it 76. 76. We put it on the we put it on the ESPN Milwaukee
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Bowl. You've had some issues here the last couple weeks.
Paul. Jordan Love is a top blank quarterback in the NFL. My husband's out of town. What do you expect from me?
She didn't have her pavement sandwich
this morning. Top 3, top 5, top 10, top 15. Where would you put Jordan Love right now? I guess I said top 10. Which, again, maybe you could make the argument that, Jen, what are you mad about then? They gave him 14, so we're going to sit here and quibble over 4 spots. I don't know that he's 10, but I do think he's a top 10 quarterback in the league, and the performance this past year was incredible, stellar. It was the best we've seen from Jordan Love. Do we want him to be able to take that step? Obviously. We want him to be able to have the ball in his hands, to put the ball in the end zone, to win those games down the stretch. But I don't think that he is the 14th best quarterback in the league, not by a long shot. Let us know what you think, 800-990-3776, because it does feel a little all across the board, right? Like, what exactly are you using to come to these rankings? Why are some guys getting the benefit of the doubt and other guys not? It feels like Jordan Love is being held to a standard he set several years ago as opposed to what he showed on the field this year.
Jared Goff produced at a rate that was similar to the last two seasons, tried his best to rescue an offense, a Lions offense, that declined in 2025. The running game's disappearance undercut their chances, though, and put a target on his back that he was unable to shed in the final month of the regular season. Oh, so he wasn't good enough. That's a different way of saying that. Yeah, but sure, let's go ahead and put him 8th on this list.
800-990-3776. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to talk about this morning. Stick around. For 70 years, Geis has been the trusted garage door authority in Wisconsin. Don't let a busted garage door get you down. Call my friends at Geis today. I told you guys last week, cable snapped on our garage door. And if you find yourself in that situation, you should call my friends at Geis. With brands like CHI and LiftMaster, they have doors for every budget. They'll even build you a custom design to meet your exact needs if that's the direction you want to go. Go to geisdoors.com. You can also visit their amazing showroom in Brookfield, see hundreds of doors and openers, and their custom design room. Don't think twice. Call Geis, GEISdoors.com. That's GEISdoors.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months.
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Sorry, I'm just chuckling at the irony of drop that, and now we've been using it for the last 4 years. She doesn't run my life. 800-990-3776, reaction rolling in fast and furious on our conversation about Jordan Love being the 14th ranked quarterback in the NFL, according to a reporter and author at NFL.com. Dave from Aaron says, tier 3 is crazy. Mid tier 2 is where Love should be. While Jim in Madison says, I can name 7 quarterbacks who are clearly better than Love right now, and at least 10 more whose teams would be foolish to trade them straight up for Love, so 14 doesn't feel that outrageous.
Do it then. Do it, Jim.
Well, and to that point, guys, Hunter weighs in and says, Love is a quarterback where people see what they want to see, and honestly, it's 50-50 good, bad. You can look at some of his passes and go, he's the guy, and then you can see just as many and go, what is he thinking here? He's not elite, but he's not bad either. Does that seem fair, Chu?
He's not elite. What was the, what did he call him? Good?
But he's not bad either.
He's a little better than not bad. We're just waiting for him to be elite or evolve because we've been kind of spoiled here for the last 30
years. I mean, I don't know what else you want from him. What else do you want from him out of that playoff game? If we're talking about
more,
like...
Gabe, what I want is more Steeler games.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's he gave you that down the stretch. Again, he was injured for some of that, and he had to miss games because of a concussion, and then they held him out. But, I mean, he played really well against the Steelers. He played really well on national television against the Detroit Lions.
He played
incredibly well in the postseason game. Like, the consistency's there. If you want to think that it's not, that tells me you're not paying attention.
Also, well, are you putting him tier one, Gabe?
I'd probably put him, I mean, either he's bottom tier one or right outside of it.
Yeah, I can't go that
far. Yeah, I mean,
far
statistically, based on what we saw last year, you can't put them outside like the top four. Based on all the things we have to evaluate these quarterbacks.
I mean, I will just because of the track records of who the top four are.
Right, but I mean, Lamar was awful.
Sure.
Yeah. Like yeah. But yeah. Will he return to it? Yeah, probably. But based on what we just saw last year, you can't argue that Lamar was better. There's no way he was.
Yeah, but in terms of who do I want as my quarterback next year?
Sure.
Like, so Lamar's then top five.
Yeah, but say what you want. You still... And give me whatever you guys got. 9-7-1 is not acceptable, boys. It's not acceptable.
Right,
is that
how
on
much
the quarterback?
Of that is on his shoulders, right? We talk about the pie chart of blame. I was even wondering, Chu, as people sit there and question Jordan Love, is any of the deficiencies that you might be pointing to play calling? Is any of it?
Oh, yeah, sure. But we all know quarterbacks get too much praise. And they get too much blame.
We don't have to operate that way, though. It doesn't have to work that way. We can be different, Chu. We can choose to be different.
Gabe, I just think at the end of the day, whatever you want to say, hurt, you know, lost five in a row. You're 9-7-1. You were the seventh seed, and you lost in the first round. I can't crown him. I'm sorry. I can't.
800-990-3776.
Terrible, but I just cannot put him tier one.
Well, again, so if he plays that game against Chicago, I think they win. If he finishes that game against
the
Bears.
Won.
Yeah, and
Malik, the one he got hurt in.
Correct. The one he got hurt in the regular season. I think they win that game, right?
And they don't win Baltimore.
They don't win Baltimore. Mm-mm. But then if they've got something to play for, maybe he's playing against
Minnesota
at the end.
Sure.
Right?
But and I said you could say whatever you want. I'm just, at the end of the day, you are what your record says you are.
Okay, calm down, Jimmy Johnson.
800-990-3776. Want to get to a little bit more of this reaction before winners. We move on here. Love was good, but he still isn't that quarterback that makes everyone around him better. That from Jay in the 262. Probably upper tier two for Love. We're probably spoiled by Aaron for all those years of perfection that others compare Love to him, so we don't see him as good as he actually is. That from Jake in the 608. Love should be considered in the top eight of NFL quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I feel it is still the Eagles' loss that these experts are looking at. Caleb Williams being that high, Stroh could have had that completion percentage from Jared in the 920.
Right, let's not get too out of... I mean...
Especially when he's been so quiet, we haven't had to see any of his videos as of late.
Love
but
gets
the
zero.
Combine is around the corner.
Oh, yeah, you know it's coming right up.
Combine 2.0.
He's working on content as we speak. Love gets zero credit. What I don't get is some people think he's not even the best QB on the team. I see it all the time on social media. That from Jaime in Orlando.
Just go to the YouTube chat. You'll find it.
Today,
yeah.
Actually.
Uh-huh.
Keep getting us your reaction to Jordan Love being ranked 14th, according to NFL.com, of all of the quarterbacks' performances in 2025. Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Drake May, Justin Herbert, and Trevor Lawrence are your tier one quarterbacks, according to this list. Jordan Love is tier three, according to this list. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on right after this.